Tu as compris? All right, when we come back, Bo Nickel in 3, 2, 1. Okay, we are back hanging out here on a beautiful Saturday. I'm really excited about it. Bo Nickel, how are you, sir?
Doing awesome. Very excited to be here.
You know, I argue with people on a regular basis. I'm a big MMA guy. I just introduced myself as I'm brand new. Obviously, I've been around, you know, for a little bit. But my favorite thing of all time is NCAA wrestling. I love the tournament. Obviously, you know, you're the king of the tournament. Talk about the experiences. I mean, you went to a small school, we know, Penn State, dominates every year. Just about that experience.
Man, I'm so grateful for all the experiences I had and everything I was able to do at Penn State. There was so many cool things that I was able to do. Competing in the NCAA wrestling tournament is just like, it's next level. You know, you have 30,000 fans. It gets real tribal, obviously. You got different fan bases from different schools and stuff, and there's a ton of matches with, you know, 10 different weight classes over the course of 3 days. So for me, the NCAA tournament is always memories that I'll look back on super fondly, and just big moments that I was able to have in my career and not only have for myself but share with others. I won you know, 3 national championships myself, and then the thing that I'm really proud of is being able to win 4 team titles at Penn State in a row. That was, you know, amazing experiences, and just very, very grateful for those.
As a fan or even media, they expect Penn State to be there. They expect Penn State to be there in the finale. What's it like being in the wrestling room with that reputation of the Nittany Lions?
I think that's something we feed off of, really, is that reputation. Not only do people expect us to be there, but we know our competition expects the same thing. When you're wrestling at Penn State, you know you're going to compete the best at the national tournament. So does every single other school. They know that we're going to be our best out of the entire year on the weekend it matters most. And that's just how we compete, and it gives us a big advantage, building that reputation that's not only just happens once in a while, it happens year in, year out, where our guys are there and they kill it at the nationals every year. So I think it's intimidating when you're looking at it from a competitor standpoint. From the media, it's exciting. I think that they want, obviously, there to be upsets and different stuff, but, you know, we never really let them get that.
Allow that.
Yeah,
yeah,
really,
exactly.
Allow it. So, you know, we always end up on top, which is just a testament to our coaches and the whole staff and the type of guys that we recruit. They're ready for the big moments and they're excited. They're competing the best in those type of environments, and yeah, it's something that's just a kind of a culture that we have.
And I'm assuming that you also thrive on the bullseye that's on your back. So whoever you're competing against, you know, they may not be at your level, but they know that they're taking on Goliath, you know, that in that tournament.
Yeah, the bullseye is interesting. It's an interesting thing, because generally you expect people to give you their best match, right? Like, they're always, when you're the top dog, people are trying to take you out, and they're going to come out and they're going to give their best. But it also kind of works in your favor because it gives people more of a reason to quit. Like, they're like, you know, after the first period, if you're up a little bit on them, like, now they're like, oh, I shouldn't even be here anyways, you know? So it kind of works both ways. Like, a lot of times, you know, you'll get guys' best matches, but it's only for a certain period of time. It's only for, you know, the first minute, the first two, the first 3 minutes. Maybe it's the first 5 minutes even. They can last that long. But I think for the length of an entire match, you know, if our competitors are at Penn State are locked in the whole time, like, we're going to win that battle, you know, long term.
Can you feel them checking out? Like,
yeah.
From the very beginning, you can sense when that is?
Yeah, I mean, generally, like, they come out way, way too hot. Like, they'll come out one of two ways. They'll either come out and, like, go for broke right away, or they'll come out, like, super cautious, and both are bad. Because if they come out too hot, one, you know, we're just better wrestlers, so they're going to end up losing those situations, losing those positions. Two, if they come out, you know, trying to not get beat really bad, they're not giving themselves a chance to win. So people can't really find that middle ground between those two. They either go, you know, all the way on one end of the spectrum to the other, and neither really work out super well.
Does it work out?
Yeah.
When did you start thinking mixed martial arts?
So I've been a fan of the sport for a long time. I watched, like...
What's a long time to you?
Right. Long time for me is different. So
okay.
15 years.
Like, okay.
Since I was
That's
about
a long
10
time.
Years old, right?
Sure.
So, like, I've always loved MMA. You know, watching The Ultimate Fighter back in its heyday. Watching UFC events with Rampage Jackson, Chuck Liddell, you know, the guys that have been there for a long time. And so I've always been a fan of the sport, and I knew I could do it. I knew, like, hey, you know, in the back of my head, like, that could be an option for me. And halfway through college, probably like my sophomore, junior year, was when I decided I'm going to pursue MMA for sure. Like, I want to do this. I'm going to, when I'm done wrestling, like, this is what I'm going to chase after. And I didn't do any training while I was wrestling, so I've only been training about 11 months now. But I've known for probably since like 2017, 2018 that that's what I was going to pursue.
Well, what's the hardest thing to learn right now? I'm a big believer wrestling, that's the core. I'm a big Matt Hughes guy. We've done a lot of stuff together. You know, if you're a good wrestler, you already have, you know, one arm up. What is the thing that you've struggled with, if anything, getting ready to hit the contender series?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say struggle, because I love starting as a beginner. Like, that's been such a cool thing for me. I wrestled for a long time, and, you know, obviously when there was more for me to learn in the sport of wrestling and a bunch of different stuff for me to learn still with wrestling. But being able to start, you know, from completely on square one in striking and in jiu-jitsu has been such a cool thing. So anything that I, like, have difficulties with, it's not really frustrating. It's more like, nice, this is great. Like, I get to learn. I get to get better.
Sure.
Like, that's so freaking cool. But definitely just, like, being upright, right? Like, I'm used to being bent over in a stance, low to the ground, being upright, keeping my hips loose, just the different range, the different pace of the fight, you know? A championship fight's 25 minutes. In wrestling, you know, the Olympic gold medal match is only going to be 6.
Right.
So, you know, that's a different thing in and of itself. But I would say, like, just the overall, like, footwork, and then from a specifically technical aspect, getting those hips loose and being able to, like, throw kicks with no tells and stuff, that's something that's super foreign to me, right? Like, there's nothing near like that in wrestling as what we have to do in MMA. So that's something that I've really honed in on and really grown to enjoy. But yeah, there's a lot of different aspects that are different in each of the disciplines.
Now there is a form of wrestling that does allow that, obviously the WWE. Did you consider going that direction, or is that something maybe possibly down the road?
Oh, definitely, yeah. If any of those WWE guys want to get beat, I'm right here. So I think at this point in my career, I'm 100% focused on being the best mixed martial artist I can be. But I'm down to change arenas at any time. I'm competing in a grappling tournament, or the Fight Pass Invitational here.
Oh, on Sunday?
On Sunday. So, you know, whatever it is, combat sports-wise, throw my hat in the ring, I'm ready to do it. So I can see myself in the WWE, taking boxing matches, obviously doing grappling matches. So I'll do wrestling matches too in the future, amateur wrestling matches, if that's an option for me. So, you know, I'm looking to compete any way I can.
We changed our flights. We were originally leaving Sunday morning. And then when I thought the grappling tournament was during the week.
Right.
So as soon as I found out, I had to change, because I have to be there. Tell me your hookup with Malky and Abe and how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, so, you know, when I think I sent out a tweet maybe after my junior or senior year that I was going to do MMA after I'm done wrestling. And so when that happened, Malky reached out and we started getting a conversation going, and kind of told him my plans and what I wanted to do with my competitive wrestling career, and then, you know, transitioning over. And so I really immediately kind of, you know, a bunch of agents had reached out to me, a bunch of management teams had wanted to talk to me. And, you know, I felt like he was the one that was just going to really fight for me, going to do the best job as far as my contracts are concerned and my sponsorships. And out of everybody I met with, I trusted him the most to get things done. And I knew right away that he was going to be a great person to represent me. He introduced me to Dan Lambert at American Top Team, and we were able to build out an MMA gym in PA about 15 minutes off of campus at Penn State. So we built that gym out. It was finished this past August, and that's where I trained full time. So, you know, from the jump, Malky was just getting stuff done for me. And I believe First Round is the best agency now in the whole sport.
How nice is that you don't have to worry about any of that stuff? You know, all you have to worry about is training, getting ready for whatever that fight is, and, you know, let him and his guys, you know, handle everything.
Oh, it's great. You know, I think, like, for me, I just want to zoom focus on what I'm good at, right? And I'm so lucky to have a great team around me and a bunch of people who care about me, who want me to succeed, and who want me to you know, achieve my goals. And so it makes such a big difference having a great team, and I'm just so grateful to have all these awesome people around me.
I'm always worried. Like I do a lot with the Ultimate Fighter, so you know, I know only to talk up, you know, last week's episode or whatever. So I don't know how much you're able to talk, but the UFC press or PR people told me that you're coming up on the Contender Series. How much do you know? Do you know when? Do you know who? Or do you even care?
I do know. I don't really care, but I'll be fighting August 9th. I do care. I don't care who I'm fighting, but I do care that I'm going to be having this opportunity to, you know, start off in the Contender Series and, you know, kick off my UFC career. So I'll be fighting Zach Borrego. He's 2-0. It's just going to be an awesome opportunity for me to show my skills and, you know, continue to grow in the sport and get better. But yeah, I mean, I'm really pumped for this. It's been a dream of mine to be, you know, fighting the UFC, and this is a nice first step on that road.
What do you think of this whole atmosphere? It's like a circus.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, the energy here is insane. It's so cool to have such a amazing fan base in this sport. I mean, the fans are truly rabid. Like, there's no other sport that has fans the way MMA does, and so just to be here to be able to enjoy this fan expo and watch the fights this weekend is really awesome.
You know, and there's no other sport that the athletes, you know, I do a lot in the NFL. I travel with all those guys, you know, where the athletes can mingle with the fans and the fans can mingle with, you know, with the athletes.
It's definitely unique. I mean, this is kind of wrestling is too, like, you know, it's more of a blue collar down to earth sport. Like for me, there's no fan that I'm ever not going to have time for. I think the NBA guys, the NFL guys, like, you know, you make $100 million, you kind of just like,
it's hard.
Yourself, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's hard.
I understand that to an extent, but for me, I'm never going to do that. I love the fans. I love everybody who wants to support me. If you want to get a picture with me, I'll stay for 5 hours and take pictures with every single guy here. So, you know, I think that's just coming from being a fan of the sport and from a young age, looking up to guys who competed in wrestling and competed in MMA and wanting to be like that, wanting to emulate them. And so for me now, being in that position, I want to be able to give back where I can and spend time with people that, you know, I'll probably never see again, and just, you know, make sure that I'm making as many acquaintances as I can in the sport.
Let's say 9 months, a year from now, you're walking down the mall somewhere, you know, in the U.S. Are you wearing a Penn State T-shirt? Are you wearing a UFC T-shirt? What are you wearing?
Ooh, that's a great
first
question.
Management.
Yeah, that's a great question. Malky would definitely want me in a first-round tee.
We'll worry about it in a year.
Yeah.
That we're worried about
I mean,
it.
I'm loyal to all those people, but
sure.
I think at the end of the day, I got to stay true to my roots. So I'm a Penn State guy through and through. I'm a wrestling guy. I'm going to take every single wrestling fan that doesn't already watch MMA, they're coming with me into the MMA world. So that's what I'm bringing to the table. That's what I'm bringing to the sport. Obviously have a big name in wrestling, but that's the fan base that has been there for me from the jump. That's what my family is. You know, my grandpa wrestled, my dad wrestled, so that's in my DNA, that's ingrained in me, and I'll always take that with me no matter what arena I'm competing in or what I'm doing, whether that's fighting MMA, business in the future, or whatever it is. Like, I'm a wrestler first and foremost, so all those people can ride and die with me.
Awesome. Very good stuff, Bo. Thank you for your time. We're going to get your information. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of socks from Odd Sock Official, as well as a new company that's sponsoring us. It's called Ride on Trek. They basically, it's for campers and backpackers, and it's food, but it's for backpackers. So you throw it in the back. I eat it in my house all the time. It is good stuff. So we're going to send you a box of that as well.
Awesome, thank you.
I appreciate
it.
I appreciate your time. All right, let's hit a break. We'll be right back. Check 1-2. All right, when we come back, we'll be with Chuck Liddell. 3-2-1. All right, as we continue hanging out here, having chats with individuals, the legend himself. It's only been a couple months since I've seen you, Chuck. How are you? Chuck Liddell.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Beautiful. I'm standing up.
Yeah, I mean, I just got off the stage with Mark Coleman and Dan Severn, so that was interesting. Those guys are funny.
Didn't Mark say that he either wanted to fight you or thought he could have fight?
Yeah, wanted to fight me at one point. I don't know. He's having fun. Mark's always been a good guy, man.
Oh no, awesome.
I love, but I remember in Brazil. He was crazy. He's a wild man. When I was down there for the Pele fight. He actually went in the back. They were putting oiling up, and he went back and took the oil from the Brazilian guys back there, from Pele and Vanderlei.
Mark's a crazy guy. I still say, and I'll continue to say it, I believe he's the greatest heavyweight of all time.
He was good, man.
Back in that day.
It was that day with that rule set. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, those headbutts. He was brutal with those things.
When somebody says, and I just said it, back in the day, I mean you back in the day, Mark Coleman back in the day, does that bother you? And I know I've talked to you about this before.
No, not really. Funny is I used to be a little bit, my father's favorite fighter. My grandfather's favorite fighter was a little much. You know, people would say that stuff, and I'd be like, but now I'm going to say, you know what, that's pretty cool. You know, I get kids and shit know who I am. Go, oh, man, you're Chuck, man. You're my dad's favorite fighter. I grew up watching my dad when I was like 8. You know, like, so I'm looking at him like, how do you even know who I am?
Right.
Like, I was you know, last time I really fought, I mean, you were 10, you're 8.
You've done a lot of things, but has it ever happened, and I don't know if you even knew this at the Super Bowl, that when you came over, Joe Montana followed you. Joe Montana was watching you. Have you ever, like, I can't believe, like, mine is that I'm friends with, or was friends with, Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm friends with Chuck Liddell, but well, Joe Montana following you.
Well, I actually, back in 2007, I think it was 2007, I was actually doing an autograph signing up in by San Francisco. And Steve Young and Joe Montana were there. And I ran into them in the back, and we started talking about being an aging athlete. And I'm just having a conversation about getting older and being a stadium, and being in shape and being an athlete. And so they were really going, am I really having a conversation with Steve Young and Joe Montana about, like, we're peers? wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's definitely crazy. Talk about the atmosphere here today. It's, you know, the expo of the old, you know, and then it kind of went away a little bit, and now it's back. This is the 10th one. It's a zoo here. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's back to being back in full flow, right? It's really packed. I didn't know what to expect. I haven't been to one, you know, I haven't had one in a couple of years. Last year I didn't go, and they didn't have one before that, right?
No.
And so, yeah, it's been a while since I've been here, so this is awesome to see this turnout.
Back to when you sat down there with Mark Coleman and Dan Severn, and somebody asked you a question that you've been asked so many times, I'm sure you're tired of it. But the answer that you gave, the mature Chuck Liddell answer, that neither about would you go outside or would you drink the beer, and neither, to me that was like the awesome classic answer.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. You know, people think I hate the guy. Like, I don't really care enough about him. You know? I mean, he's with a girl that I used to know, like a friend of ours, who's gonna be a ring guard girl, like, awesome girl. I hear he's a great dad. It's great. You know, I just don't want to do business with
him. Right. Holding on to that kind of stuff is bad.
That's something I'm ever gonna, you know, maybe if people say he's changed, I'm sure maybe. He might burn my bridge, son. There's no recovery on that, you know.
What are you doing now? What's going on, back home? Just what are you doing?
I'm just working on stuff, trying to do some auditions, trying to get some parts and movies, having some fun. I always find that fun. I've been traveling a lot, trying to do some good charity work, trying to do different stuff, raising my kids, having a good time.
What's the dream role for you?
You know, I don't know. I want to play something funny. I want to entertain people, make them laugh. I don't like to entertain people. I like fighting, right? And I did that show with David Spade where I was like a comedian, stand-up comedian. He was just talking in my ear. I just had to say what he was saying walking around. But I actually really enjoyed the crowd interaction and having and entertaining the crowd. So I think somewhere along the line, I like entertaining people.
But no role that you really would like to do? I mean, there's the obvious that I'm sure you don't want to do, the, you know, the guy outside, the bodyguard, the bouncer. I mean, we don't want that. What would be a good one?
You know, like, honestly, I like to do something, like I said, I like, romantic comedy is my favorite genre, like, for movies to watch. So something that, that vein would be awesome. You know, like, that was the truth. So, you know, that was a funny movie. They're funny, right. They're good. I mean, I can play off. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe something like that.
Cool. Well, you know, something will definitely happen. Chuck, as always, thank you for your time. I know that everybody wants to get a hold of you. It's great seeing you, and let's talk again real soon.
It's always great being here.
Talk to you soon. All right, let's hit a break. All right, with Dan Severin in 3. Let me put this on. Okay. With Dan Severin in 3, 2, 1. Okay, we are back talking to all kinds of athletes. We had Carrot Top on earlier. Now we're going to talk to a living legend. And I don't like the word legend. Legend is one of the most overused words.
I do like the word living, though.
Oh, no, for sure. That's awesome. We are talking to a living legend and Dan Severin. Dan, how are you?
Oh, Randy, I'm fantastic. I mean, I'm still just living life just the way I'm my term still.
Could you have imagined the atmosphere that we have here today back in the day? And, you know, I just talked to Chuck about the word back in the day. You know, I don't know if either one of us liked that, you know, from many years ago. But could you have imagined this back then?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a question that's come up many times over the years with each progressive year. And I simply just kept looking at if this sport could survive the onslaught attack from politicians, legislators trying to do away with the sport, referred to as human cockfighting. It's two gladiators, we're back in the arena and stuff like that. You know, I just think if it can survive and continue to move forward, it will be the most incredible size event. And even though it's great, it's going to like this huge magnitude here today, there still has not been like a Super Bowl style of an event. So it still has even additional growth that it could do.
No, absolutely. I know people don't like this as well. I once said to Otto Graham, you know, who was the highest paid player in the NFL in the 40s. He made $40,000 a year. Okay. You know, Tom Brady's making $180 million, whatever. Could you have imagined, have you ever laid down as you're getting ready to go to sleep and say, you know, if I was 22 today, what I could do in mixed martial arts and the UFC?
No, I don't let that haunt me whatsoever. I mean, it's the reality is...
You're not.
I made the most money at the time when I competed. And I simply know that time continues to change. You know, if you look back 30 years ago, what did a football player make 30 years ago? What did a hockey player make? Basketball player? I made the most money at the time. I had the accolades going, so I was like going, I had my time slot. I did my thing. Life moves on.
So you're talking like an OG.
Well, a senior citizen of reality. That's what I am.
What do you enjoy about the sport today? I know that you coach. I know that you train. I know that you're teaching. I mean, do you still watch? And when you watch, can you watch as a fan? Or are you still trying to pick up pieces?
No, I will never watch it as a fan. I always watch it. But then literally I will have a little notepad and a piece of paper. And I'm actually making critiques of too. What they're missing in their game arsenal, you know.
Right.
I still do a lot of teaching, speaking, things of that nature. I was at an event just a couple of weekends ago out in Chicago, and then they basically just brought me in to be a judge / referee, even though
at the same time.
No. I mean, basically, as there were two other men, and we're basically just making notes and be like a judge. But when he saw my notes, because, you know, win or lose was just one aspect, but round after round, all the notes I was making per athlete, and he picked this up and he goes, Dan, he goes, these are gold. He goes, what you just wrote down there. I go, if you keep those notes, bring me back for a seminar. I go, all I got to do is look at these notes, and I go, we could teach these elements. And he's like, done. So, again, I look at it with a more critiquey type of an eye of how can I improve you, if there's any room to improve you in the first place.
So how do we improve the judging in mixed martial arts?
Get more actual competitors, former competitors, to be judges and to be referees. I was, great question, Randy, because I was a part of Big John McCarthy that brought me in, I don't know, a year and a half or so back. He was running one of his big referee, coaching, judging type of things in Phoenix, Arizona. And at the time, you know, the Arizona Athletic Commissioner, he said to me, sometimes I'm in Arizona, sometimes I'm back in Michigan. He just calls me up and said, Dan, are you going to be in town for at this time frame? I go, they check my portable brain, my planner. And I'm like, going, yep, I should be. And he's like, he says, would you mind coming on in and speaking to the group on a Monday? I go, speaking about what? He goes, you're that guy that has been with the sport from the no holds barred era all the way up to that mixed martial arts era. He goes, you can talk. He goes, and you can talk intelligently because we heard you before. Don't want you go up there standing going, okay, be fight, be like to fight. No. So I said, sure. I go, but your prices. And he started choking. I go, let me come in and take both classes. I want to be to go through the judges class, and I want to go through the referees class. He goes, why? I go, I've done all aspects of this, but I go, I've never been through an actual class. I go, I want to go through one of the big John McCarthy classes. See what it's all about. It was kind of ironic because over 400 people were in both of these classes. At the beginning of each class, they would have each person stand up real quick just to state your name, where you're from, and what your affiliation was with the sport. And there's always like three categories. Were you actually a former competitor, a fan of it, or have you ever trained into it? And out of the 400 people, maybe five or six had ever competed into it. Everybody else fell into the fan category. Right. Watching it is one thing, but if you actually ever have trained it or if actually have been involved in it, you understand what's going to this athlete's mind. You understand what's happening as these punches, elbows, and knees shots are taking place. You'll know, realistically, when you should be stopping a match, and you won't see so many matches being stopped either prematurely or too later than what they should be. When the guys, you know, like Rock 'em Sock 'em Robots, he's taking shot after shot after shot. Dude, he was basically out in the first place. Those strikes 3 through 5 right now are just you're making damaged goods. So that was the biggest take that I told him. I said, you need to get more former athletes because they understand the mindset way more.
Well, why do you think former fighters are not becoming judges? Is it because of the pay? Is it because of the time?
I don't know. I would actually think that they would, maybe they don't know that this avenue is available to them. Maybe the UFC themselves should actually, I mean, that could be at just another level that they have a school that is here to help train people to be referees and to be judges, because, you know, people can only be around so long, and with the abundance of matches that they have on any given weekend, you always are needed in need of good judges,
sure,
good referees.
When I know that you get around a lot, you know, we were talking about, you know, your seminars. When are you coming back to Florida?
I'm looking at another fall tour. That's what I'm looking for. I don't have any set dates at this point.
That five events.
But you know, I try to do more things because I like educating people. That's really what it's all about. I mean, because a lot of people, when they ask you a question, I just simply just go yes or no. I will give you a response, but I will give you the rationale why I came up with that response, you know, for it.
What would you think if, on The Ultimate Fighter, if they decided to bring a couple of the veterans in as one of the head coaches? You know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, you against somebody that, you know, you fought back in the day, which would be cool. Not that you're going to fight, but just that going back in time, bringing somebody, you know, that you had fought, whether it's Ken or whoever, just for the TV value of it, but also then you could then be coaching and training some of these up-and-coming young fighters.
Actually, as you said that, right, I thought they were doing that in the first place. I thought they were bringing back different fighters.
They just brought back a couple old fighters, but they've never really brought back, you know, two old fighters to be the head coach. Okay. You know, to like now it's Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes. They're going to fight in a couple months again. I just think it would be cool to have somebody like you come back, you know, let the younger generation even know who you are that they may not, would be a great avenue for everybody.
Well, again, United States is that country where we have a very, very short attention span. You are forgotten as quick as yesterday's news. And that's, Randy, we could delve into a whole lot of other different areas here right now to talk about. That's one of the problems that's happening here inside the United States. People don't realize all the freedoms that we had before. And so it's all about the education. It's, you know, what are your priorities in life? There is a reason why everyone's trying to come to the United States. The United States truly is the land of opportunity.
Absolutely. How can people get in touch with you? How can they, you know, I know that you're looking at going to other places to do seminars. How can they reach out to you?
Probably the easiest way is just going to my website at dansever.com. 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 Can't make it any easier than that. My contact information is on that. Usually emails is the best way of getting with me.
Awesome. Let me know when you get back to Tampa or Jacksonville, you know, where I saw you not too long ago. All right. Everybody sitting down with Dan Severin. And I appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, sir. Check one, two, check one, two. Good. Mark here. When we return, we'll be with Mark Coleman in 3, 2, 1. Okay, we are back hanging out. What a day it's been so far. And even though our next guest I consider a friend, I'm still in awe of the great Mark Coleman. Mark, how are you?
Appreciate that. Thank you, Randy.
I am so happy for you. You know, I know that you continue to post. You know, you're, I think, about a year and 3 months now.
Yeah.
And I hope this doesn't sound corny, but again, I consider us friends. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. And you are a completely different person again.
Yeah. Well, I like myself now.
Which is important.
I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. And it's good to be here. And
what's it like for you to walk around, you know, this event today?
I'm very appreciative that the UFC brought me in. It's all about me getting my act together and getting sober. They told me I would have a great life if I did. I certainly didn't believe it, but they were right. I mean, mean, everything is good. I have everything I need. I gave up one thing to get everything I want. Right. Now I have everything I want. And, you know, they may not have brought me in here a year ago for various reasons, but now I see why. And
one of the most overused words in the English language to me is legend. You know, everybody's a legend, good considered legend, which I've always considered to be disrespectful to the legends. What is your thoughts when I call you the legend that you are, or when I argue with people on Twitter that you are the greatest heavyweight champion of all time?
Well, honestly, that's what I wanted growing up. I wanted to be remembered. I wanted to leave my mark. I wanted to be the best in the world at something. And I guess it was important for me to leave a legacy, and I guess maybe I did okay.
Well, what do you think of the sport today? You know, how far it's come from the very beginning, you know, to, and I always tell people, I've covered the UFC since the number one, and the very first one I attended was someone in Augusta called UFC 11. So you know which one that was. You know, how far MMA has come, how far the UFC has come since UFC 11.
I'm not surprised how far it's come. I expected this. Even, you know, I knew they had a lot of lawsuits and battles, but I knew they had the greatest product in the world. I knew that. I was addicted very first UFC. If it was real, I didn't know if it was real. If it was, this is what I'm going to do. And it's just very obvious. The whole world loves violence. And it was an easy sell if they could. I just wondered why they didn't do this when I was 31. I had wondered why there wasn't such a sport when I was a kid.
Right.
Because I would have, this is what I would have did as a kid. I just, everything happens when it's supposed to happen, and it happened when it did. But wow, that would have been a pretty neat journey starting out as a, because I know how bad I wanted to be an Olympic champion when I was 5 years old in wrestling.
Right.
I would have wanted it the same, and it would have been nice having coaches and honing my skills and becoming a black belt in martial arts.
Do you, and I always ask athletes this, do you watch fights as entertainment? Can you watch a fight as entertainment, or are you always watching the sport that you excelled in, the sport that you love, and you're picking up things, you know, even today?
Well, no, I do. I watch it for both, because now I kind of like 10 years I went missing. After my last fight, I was lost for a long time. I didn't know what to do. I was depressed. I could not replace that high. That's all I searched for. Once I found the high of winning a fight, that's what motivated me to keep going. And then when it was taken away, I was lost for a while. But I found my way back. I've crawled back. And now being in the gym and helping other athletes is something that I cherish and something that I bless, and it's what keeps me going. I got a couple guys getting in that cage real soon here, and I'm just extremely excited how hard they have worked under my guidance.
All of that is your second love. Let's talk about your first love. How is the family? How is everybody doing?
Family's good. I'm living with my oldest daughter now, so we get along better than ever. It is nothing but love. If she's happy, I'm happy. My other two kids, my other two daughters are doing great. I'm blessed. I have everything I want as long as I stay sober, and that's the game plan. Today I will stay sober.
What do you tell the young fighters of today? We just had Bo Nichols on. Obviously, you know his whole story from Penn State, you know, the wrestler guy. You know, I believe wrestling is the start of mixed martial arts. What would you tell him as he gets ready to embark on a new career?
I'm a big fan of Bo Nichols. I've been following him since he started, and I predicted right away that he was going to do very well. I'm even more impressed by the way his hands have come around. Even if he would have never got hands that great, he would have been a very, very, very good MMA guy. But looks like he's putting in the time to learn the skills on his feet, and you can't just learn them. Looks like he possesses the tools to get the job done. I'm excited for Bo Nichols.
Do you think it's unfair? A lot of times when somebody comes in with such high accolades and, you know, his whole wrestling background, his whole NCAA, that that kind of, as a young athlete, he already has the bullseye on his back. Couldn't think of the word bullseye. The bullseye on his back.
Hell no, that's what you want.
That's what you want.
I mean, I don't. He's not overly fanfare, in my opinion. He's just another great wrestler. There's been so many of them. He's just another great wrestler, but it helps him drastically to get to from point A to point B because he's already got the eyes on him. He never had the eyes on him in wrestling, but it looks like he can handle himself well. The bullseye, that's what we want. I mean, I'm sure he loves it.
Awesome. As always, Mark, thank you very much for stopping by. Again, I'm very happy. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go hit a break. We'll be right back. Check. All right, when we come back, we're going to be with Callum. Callum Walsh. Make sure you're up. Got to say something. I can't hear you. Try again.
Can you hear me?
It's real loud out there, too, so. Just talk it loud.
Yeah, I'll talk loud.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, 3, 2, 1. Okay, we are back hanging out here. Just sitting and meeting people and talking to people. Callum Walsh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What are your thoughts on this atmosphere?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I just took a walk around. I've only been here 5 minutes. I was actually with Tony Ferguson at his seminar. So I just got here, but some atmosphere. Some of the fighters around the place as well. It's unbelievable, yeah.
Now, you're a boxer right now, but rumor is MMA could be possibly in your future?
Yeah, I'm sitting here as a boxer right now, but someday I might be sitting here as a UFC fighter.
If the same opportunity, boxing and MMA, which way do you want to go? I know Dana's, has your back. Dana's very interested in you. Is there a preference right now?
Yeah, I think at the moment my priority is boxing. I've been boxing since I was 6 years old, and it's something I've done my whole life. So I think I'll just win as much as I can in boxing and maybe someday make the transition to UFC.
Is boxing as big in Ireland as MMA is when I was there? You know, I went for a fight, a UFC one. I don't remember which one, but it was insanity. And it was Ireland, too.
Yeah, boxing is massive in Ireland. I think McGregor actually made MMA in Ireland massive. But boxing is still very big in Ireland. Yeah, everybody fights here. We love it.
Tell me about your boxing style. You know, obviously this is a combat show, but predominantly MMA. But, talk about, your boxing and your boxing style.
Yeah, so I have 3 professional fights with 3 first-round knockouts. my first fight lasted 30 seconds. Second fight was 30 seconds. I think the third fight was like a minute. I have my fourth fight coming up August 4th. I'm going to be looking for another first-round knockout. That's what I do. I just knock people out.
Well, what are you thinking, during a fight? When I talk to fighters, it's, some they're just on, autopilot. They know what they're doing. Some are thinking ahead. Walk us through those 30 seconds.
Yeah, those 30 seconds. I just want to hurt people. I'm just here. I've been doing this my whole life. I just want to knock people out. When I get in there, I can box, too. That's what, I had 120 amateur fights. I won 6 national titles, a European gold medal. I have a lot of experience as an amateur, but I think my fighting style right now is aggressive. I want to punch hard and knock people out, and I've been doing it so far.
I know that this isn't a question that you're supposed to ask women, so I hope it's okay. Yeah. How old are you?
21.
And you have those men? Because I would have said 19,
yeah,
but
no,
I'm like,
21, yeah.
How do you have that many fights?
I started boxing when I was 6, and I had my first amateur fight when I was 11. So I've been fighting forever.
Have you started, just for the fun of it, doing any MMA, doing any jiu-jitsu?
I train with Tony Ferguson. So I've been mixing in a bit of jiu-jitsu, a bit of stuff with Tony. He's teaching me a lot, like kicks and stuff like that. So
is he as insane training as he is just in everyday life?
Yeah, yeah.
And Tony and I are friends.
Yeah, you know. No, he is. Yeah, training with Tony is unbelievable. Just his engine and trying to keep up with him is unbelievable. His training is insane. We went to a 24-hour fitness like 2 weeks ago. It's trained for 6 hours.
Well, I was going to say 24 hours. You don't know with him.
6 hours, yeah.
Tell us some things that I need to know about Ireland. I went to Dublin for the UFC. I want to go back. What are some things that I'm sure I didn't do?
You need to go to Cork, where I'm from. Cork, Ireland. That's the spot to go. Dublin is nice, but obviously I'm from Cork, so I'm going to say Cork is better. But yeah.
When we were there, so the UFC would have been Saturday. I think I went home on Monday. So Sunday night, I'm out on the street waiting for the bus. But there was some holidays, so it pushed everything back. I'm kind of proud that I survived the streets of Dublin at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. It's rough enough around there, but yeah, it's good. It's a good vibe around Dublin, around Ireland. Everybody is kind of just there for a good time. And
for sure.
Time, yeah.
What's training like as you're training for this fight in August?
Yeah, training's been good. I've been training with Tony a lot for this fight, running. I've been doing wrestling with Tony just for physical strength. But yeah, I was back in Ireland actually a few weeks ago, and I just came back and started an 8-week camp, so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready to fight. I'm still 5 weeks out, and I'm feeling ready, feeling strong. So,
how did you hook up with Tony?
Through the wildcard. So I came here in March of 2021, and I went to Freddie Roach in the wildcard, and Tony was just there one day training. And I always try to push myself as hard as I can and be the hardest trainer in the gym. And I was trying to keep up with Tony, and then we just became friends. We started training together.
And then how did Dana get involved? Tony made a call, or
no, it was actually through Tom Loeffler, and I fight on UFC Fight Pass, so I'm headlining shows on UFC Fight Pass last week, and I have the Howlerhead Whiskey sponsor too.
Okay.
So that's how.
Okay.
That's how Dana got involved. Yeah.
As you're walking around, what has stuck out so far, other than the insanity and the fans?
Yeah, just the fans, and I just seen Charles Oliveira walking out here. That was crazy. Just all the fighters and stuff. It's unbelievable being here, seeing everybody here. And like, I've only been here 10 minutes because I was with Tony, but so far it's unbelievable. I can't wait to get out and have a look around in a minute.
Yeah, it's definitely the place to be. It's a lot of fun. For coming on the show, and we appreciate your time. Odd Sock Official is one of our sponsors, so we'd love for you to take a pair of socks.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
get your email to send you some other gifts for Sapa Bog.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very, very much.
You.
We'll be right back.
It's a good one.
Yeah, get out of the way.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks again. Enjoy the day. Thank you.
Don't